Sandy Tom is a sensation in the UK with her idealistic song, I Wish I Was a Punk Rocker, with flowers in my hair topping the charts. Her rise was greatly aided by the internet. Over 3 weeks beginning in February, she broadcast nightly from her basement. The worldwide audience for the concerts on the webcast grew from 70 viewers to 162,000. There's a bit of a controversy, though, as to whether the event was truly grassroots or manipulated by her management company. There's been a bit of a backlash. I started off by asking Sandy if this was her first visit to the States.
No, I did come here when I was a little girl. Because my dad used to live in Boston and he was training to be a helicopter pilot. So I spent a lot of time in Boston and New York. But we've had a good time in New York in the last couple of days, so it's been really good.
Good to see you. Where are you? You're from, it seems like an idyllic, tiny place.
Yeah, it's on the northeast coast of Scotland, and it's kind of like this little tiny place where there's probably about 100 people who live in it. It's like a fishing village, and it's got a little harbour and stuff, so it's very idyllic.
What did your dad do before he flew helicopters?
He was a fisherman.
Ah.
That's hence the reason why we lived in a fishing village.
I figured something was wrong.
Yeah.
And how did you come to music there? What did you...
My dad was always playing the guitar and stuff when I was little, and my mum's family are very big, like seven sisters, all Irish, all sing and play things and just generally like really creative. And my auntie, my dad's sister, taught me how to play piano when I was like four, so she's a jazz piano player. And so it was very kind of creative background, you know, when I grew up.
And I want to pick up the story about what happened with your career later on. But what's happened lately has all kind of come via the internet. And I'm sure you've told this story a lot, but you put on 21 concerts out of your basement.
Yeah, 21 consecutive nights
on the web.
On the web, yeah. So it was like a digital tour.
Wow. Now, yes. Did you do them live every night, or did you tape them and have them uploaded?
We did it as live, like if you do like as live TV. So it was done like an hour before it would actually stream. So, but it was always as live. So if I had to go and get a cup of tea or somebody had to go to the toilet, it was on the recording.
Oh, that's funny. And who was anybody there live in the basement with you, audience-wise?
Yeah, there was like at least four people every night we did it. Just because it was funny when we had it up on the website that we could actually put it next to every night to say that we'd sold out this 21-night tour, although there was only actually four people there.
People going...
Yeah.
That's funny. And the audience for that seemingly grew pretty exponentially as it went along.
It was something that, you know, I don't think you can ever kind of predict anything like that, because it's not something that's very well practiced. So when I started doing it, I literally had no idea if one person would watch. But, you know, I remember sitting in the kitchen the first night we did it, and we found out that there was like almost 700 people that watched the first night. And in comparison to what we were doing before that, it headlined gigs, you know, that was like almost, that was like tripling the amount of people that we played to. So even at the beginning then, I was pretty shocked about it, yeah.
And you got to sleep in your own bed, so.
Exactly, and that's one of the bonuses of doing a tour from your house.
Exactly, well, here you are in Philadelphia. I don't think that, you know, despite that and a certain amount of publicity that came from that, if the songs weren't there, I don't think things would have progressed. So
yeah, I mean, we did. You know, we kept it quite like, you know, we chopped up all the sets and stuff. So, you know, I guess it's quite a rarity to watch a band or an artist play for 21 nights in a row for free when they're playing like different songs every night. So, I think it was pretty exciting for the people who were watching it as well.
Well, we have no video, but you can listen on the web. What do you want to start with?
I think we're going to start with a song called "Little Remedy."
You were looking for the answer. You would have to go to me. like bitter special pie, but they're gone forever in the blink of an eye.
Sandy Tom is our guest, and she's making her debut everywhere and here in the U.S. And what do you want to play next?
We're going to play a cheeky little song called What If I'm Right. Journey and be there till the end. It won't be an uphill struggle. On you I can depend. You promise me dream home when the roses round the door. You'll carry me in diamonds. There's nothing I want for that. You'll be strong and you'll turn me on. Rain starts falling, you'll protect me with your cold. And you'll always take the football and let me watch my soaps. You'll always be as handsome and your weight will never gain. When I give birth to our children, I will feel no pain. And you bring me flowers and you bring me showers, but with tender love and care. And when you need to change the light bulb, you will hand me the chair. When we're tired of the city and we find our country home, you'll sell your vinyl records and go get us alone. You'll be my sympathetic lover and you won't steal the covers, but what if I'm right? You be true and be faithful.
Sandy Don with What If I'm Right, another one from Smile. It confuses people. Now, somebody might like to have that song sung about them at first, but and it is kind of a universal song, but did you sing it for, was it for somebody?
Oh, I'm sure it's probably, you know, I'm sure I've taken some of my own experiences and coupled it with the general vibe of the world.
Yeah, right. So we'll never know if you were right or not, or maybe in the future we will.
Well, you know, time will tell.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things about the internet is people on the internet are incredibly active and look into every little thing that's out there. And since you've done these 21 nights and all this, there's been a bit of controversy on the internet about mm-hmm. about. I think people thought you were overstating your case, perhaps as being a penniless artist living in mm-hmm. you know, grotty basement, etc. And now people are saying, "Well, how could you have so many people listening? And what went on? What is your reaction to the reaction? How's that been?"
I think as far as that goes, I think that it's a good thing that you can have the freedom of speech. You know, the internet allows you to do that. And obviously, at the same time, you have to realize that it can have a negative bearing on it as well, because people are allowed to say what they like. But, you know, I mean, all I can really do is, as an artist, like, is just present myself to the public and say, hello, hi, this is me, this is my music. Do you like it or do you not, kind of thing. And the internet was just another platform by which I could do that. Now, I think that people at that point in time, you know, were a bit skeptical of that subject because it is something that's quite relevant and it is changing the way that you look at music, the way you buy it, sell it, and promote it. You know, there's a shift in power, and I think because of the fact that it was such a poignant thing at the time, there was controversy built up around it, and I think I was just the subject of it because it was something that I was doing at the time. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And, you know, so people know about me and my music now, but they make their own choice about whether they like the music and buy the record, and that's really all I can do. But I'm sure, you know, it's something that it'll people will talk about it for years to come, and it's great that they talk about it.
Well, it's interesting the word you use, poignant, because I think that's one reason why people jump on this, is it's such a kind of great story, and it makes you feel good, and people are very cynical.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, there is always a certain element of, you know, when something like that is like a story and you read it in a paper, and then if you make another story out of that, you know, you can sell papers from doing that, so... But at the end of the day, you know, what I did was genuinely from the point of me as an artist just trying to build up a fan base. So.
And gee, it worked.
Oh, it did, didn't it?
Yeah, and as I say, I don't think it would happen necessarily without the songs. It certainly wouldn't happen without the songs. Can you do this? Can you do Punk Rocker, which is this amazing piece of music I think a lot of the interest comes from that song, which has a lot of the kind of poignancy, but you know, can we talk about that song just a little bit? Because it is really confusing. You kind of equate, you know, hippies and punk rockers, and I tell you, your punk rocker would go, I don't want anything to do with those people, those hippies.
You know? I know, absolutely. I mean, it's. You know, I'm sure everybody else is aware of the fact that punks and hippies weren't exactly the best of friends. But at the same time, they were both anti-establishment groups. Both had a reason to... they were both revolting against something. So they both had rebellion, and that's the point, really. The fact that they believed so much in something to all gather together in one big community. And, you know, the whole point of punk rocker is the fact that sometimes, you know, maybe these days... there's a lack of that, and I would have wanted to have been part of something quite special like that. But it's a very light-hearted song, you know. It's not meant to be taken too seriously. I think sometimes people take it a bit too seriously, but, you know.
Hey, at least they take it, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, can you do Punk Rocker? Can you finish things
absolutely.
Up with it?
Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. In 77 and 69, revolution was in the air. I was born too late.
into a world that doesn't care. Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. When the head of state didn't play guitar, not everybody drove a car. When music really mattered and when radio was king. When accountants didn't have control and the media couldn't buy your soul. When computers were still scary and we didn't know everything. Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. 77 and 69, revolution was in the air. I was born too late into a world that doesn't care. Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. When pop stars still remained a myth and ignorance could still be a bliss. And when God saved the queen, she turned a whiter shade of pale. My mom and dad were in their teens and anarchy was still a dream. And the only way to stay in touch was a letter in the mail. Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. 77 and 69, revolution was in the air. I was born too late to a world that doesn't care. Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. When record shops were still on top and vinyl was all that they stopped, and the super info highway was still drifting out in space. Kids were wearing hand-me-downs and playing games, men kicking arounds, and footballers still had long hair with dirt across their face. Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. 77 and 69, revolution was in the air. I was born too late into a world that doesn't care. Oh, I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. I was born too late to a world that doesn't care. Oh, I wish I was a punk rock girl with flowers in my hair.
Sandy Thoms playing live for us today. And what was reaction to that song, playing it live before all this happened? Pretty good?
Oh, yeah. I think it's... because it says sort of standoutish song because of the fact that none of us are actually playing any instruments for a start.
Yeah, right.
And somebody said to me the other day, it's really odd when I listen to that song because I keep thinking like someone's going to start playing a guitar or something. But yeah, that it always got such a great reaction. I mean, when I wrote it, I thought, you know, I had a feeling that there was something quite special about it. I had a bit of magic or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always had the same reaction, really.
Sandy, thanks a lot for being here.
Oh, that's all right. Thank you very much for having us.
Sandy Thom, our guest, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe. Thanks again to Sandy Thom for joining us. That album is out here in the States now, and you can find it at our World Cafe CD store at our website, which is worldcafe.npr.org.